Ambassador Christopher Hill was with us now, U.S. Ambassador to Iraq from 2009 to 2010. He also is the Dean of the Joseph Korbel School of International Studies at the University of Denver, an ambassador to the Republic of South Korea, as well as he was named really head of the U.S. delegation to the six-party talks that led to North Korea been taking off the terror watch list. Ambassador Hill, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, pleasure.
Ambassador, first off, what do you think is at stake if they did use chemical weapons, sarin gas, in Syria, even though it's been 2 years with about 70,000 dead in that civil war?
Well, this is a banned weapon. It's something I think the international community has always said, if it is used, if a banned weapon of this kind is used, there would be a response. So I think the administration is looking very hard at this issue to see what would be an appropriate response.
What do you think our response should be in that area? What do you think our obligation is, if any?
I think we need to be, I hate to use the word measured, but you know, when you take young Americans, men and women, to war, it's a very serious matter. And so I think it's quite important that we kind of look this through and see what the circumstances and see whether we are really sure that this happened. Some type of kinetic response might be appropriate, but I think it has to be very, very carefully looked at.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's talking. Even John McCain is not talking about putting boots on the ground. But I do think in many ways it's somewhat frustrating for people like you, perhaps, that we didn't get in there early enough to identify who we could be working with.
Well, I agree. I am frustrated by that, but I'm frustrated by something else. I worked on the Bosnian peace settlement, and long before, or a year before, the Dayton Peace Accords that kind of wrapped it up, we had worked very hard with various partners to try to come up with a political settlement, that is, what Bosnia would look like in the future. The failure to do that in Syria, the failure to have any concept of what a post-Assad Syria will look like, I think is responsible for kind of prolonging the war, because people know that people are worried about the future and they continue to fight because they don't know what their future is going to look like.
Good point. Ambassador, the other thing that American people have, and you know directly, is that we fear we might be helping out the wrong guys. As bad as Assad's been to America and as close he's been to Iran, I'm not really thrilled about giving al-Qaeda the country either.
Well, you got it. I mean, it is a very, very confused picture there. I mean, there is these, you know, free Syrian forces, but there are about 10 different groups, and the real fighters on the ground tend to be guys that I'm not sure we'd want to be exchanging Christmas cards with. So I think we need to be very careful. So I appreciate the need to kind of be involved and try to give non-lethal aid and really to try to get to know who we're talking with there. But I think we need to be very careful about sort of leaping into a situation that is at best quite murky.
And what about what Iran's doing? They are flat out propping Assad up. Without Iran, he's not in power. I mean, he could be dead.
Yeah, Iran is very much propping up Assad. Iran is kind of the big loser in all this. You know, Iran has really pushed to try to have a real say in the Sunni Arab world vis-a-vis kind of Shia or Alawite, in this case, surrogates. And I think the Iranians are seeing that they are losing, and they're a little desperate.